Hello, and welcome to the Green Minds podcast.
Showcasing the science, stories, and solutions behind climate change with Phoebe Scott,
Alex Miller,
Lottie Flashkus,
and Guy Wilkinson.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the IB Green Minds podcast, supported by PAI. My name is Phoebe Scott, and today I'm joined by Thibaut Girardi, Senior Manager in Climate Finance at the 2 Degrees Investing Initiative, an independent non-profit think tank working to align financial markets and regulations with the Paris Agreement goals. Prior to his role at 2 Degrees, Thibaut worked at PwC in sustainable management and strategy. Thibaut, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Minds podcast today.
Thank you very much, Phoebe. That's a pleasure to be with you today.
So I thought it would be a good place to start by talking about your career to date. How did your prior career lead you to your current role at 2 Degrees, and why did you want to work for 2 Degrees?
Yes, sure. Basically, my profile might seem a little bit unusual because at the beginning, I was an engineer with a major in forestry management. So it's quite different from sustainable finance. But basically, I built my career around my willingness to have an impact on real economy in terms of fight against climate change. And when I was my studies, I realized that working for companies, that would be a way to increase this impact. So at the end of my engineering school, I joined business school in France. And at that time, I realized that to have even more impact, it would be possible like to work with the financial institutions, because obviously a financial institution has a portfolio of sometimes hundreds of companies. And that would be a way to increase my impact even more. So that's why I decided to join a management company at the end of my studies. And then I moved to PwC as a consultant in sustainable development with a focus on climate change and sustainable finance. And basically, I was involved in a lot of assignments around carbon footprint, life cycle assessment, climate strategies, both for small companies, big corporations, and financial institutions. And 1 year ago, I've been contacted by 2 Degrees Investing Initiative for an interesting position, which was about managing the biggest project that they have in France, which is named Finance Climact, and which is about replicating the European Sustainable Finance Action Plan in France. I thought that in this idea of having an impact, that would be even more powerful than working for PwC. So that's why basically I took the decision to join 2DI. And that was really a great decision because now I'm working with a lot of really interesting stakeholders. And I'm in contact with the regulators, with the supervisors, with dozens of financial institutions to work on the topic of sustainable finance.
That all sounds really interesting. I think it definitely helps you to see the breadth of the roles in climate change and also how you've always been focused on having an impact, which is obviously really important. And more generally, what role do you see think tanks playing in alleviating the climate crisis? You kind of touched on this a bit before in what you're doing with Finance Climact, but it would be great to expand on this a bit more.
Yes, sure. So for me, the role of think tanks in the fight against climate change basically is to provide the knowledge based on the research and the science. More specifically, when it comes to sustainable finance, those are topics which are quite new and which are complex. So we need to provide a lot of research, and to provide this research to, I would say, in the one hand, the civil society, and in the other hand, the regulators, to be sure that they are implementing the actions which are required for this fight against climate change.
I very much agree. It's very important that think tanks fill that gap in providing very much fact-based, knowledge-based research for the financial sector. Definitely, as you mentioned, it's a very nascent space, so they clearly play a really important role there. Relating to that, and just turning on to 2DI itself as an example of one of these think tanks, could you please expand on why 2DI was established and what its core ethos is?
Yes. So basically, based on what I just said, the purpose of 2DI is to provide the research that we need to align the financial market with the objective of the Paris Agreement, which is to limit climate change far under 2 degrees. And to do this, we started to focus on portfolio alignment, and we developed research and methodologies about this. And years after years, we started covering new topics, including more focus on impact investment, on stress testing and long-term supervision, as well as retail investment. And we are even now considering new topics such as biodiversity, because obviously biodiversity is becoming a topic which is more and more important for the industry. And just basically about how we were established. So 2DI was founded in 2015. And with, at the beginning, one of the main actions that we implemented was related to one of the French regulations, which is named Article 173, Article 173, around ESG reporting of the financial institutions. And we have been strongly involved in that regulation. And I think we can say that we are responsible for a significant part of the content of this regulation. So that was a really good start back in time.
That's great. And I'm sure it's really rewarding to feel that you or 2DI itself indeed has had a measurable impact on wider policy and also in the private sector as well. So it's great to be able to fill that gap. And you've already touched on this a bit already, but how do you feel that 2DI's core values align with your own personal values relating to climate change? You mentioned impact. Is there anything else that you feel aligns well?
So definitely impact is the core of the topic. I think most of people working on climate change will share this view. If you want to contribute to the fight against climate change, what you want to do is to have an impact. You really want what you are doing to initiate changes, and more specifically in the real economy, because at the end of the day, if we don't manage to reduce the CO2 and GHG emissions of the economy, we won't achieve the Paris Agreement goal and we will lose this fight against climate change. And having an impact, first, I think working for a think tank, that's really a good way to do this. As I already said, you are in touch with regulators, supervisors, and a lot of stakeholders, including other non-for-profit organizations, other dozens of financial institutions. And this is a really good way to have an impact. And talking about 2DI more specifically, I think we can say that this question of impact is also really key at 2DI. What we want to ensure is that the climate actions which are implemented by the financial institutions, we want those actions to really contribute to the changes in the real economy. So what I would say differentiate 2DI from maybe other think tanks is really this focus on the real economy and saying, okay, look, maybe we are not saying that implementing climate actions, if you can't show that they have an impact in the real economy, is bad. We are just saying that this is not enough, and that if we want to address the climate emergency, we really need changes in terms of GHG emissions in the real economy now, because later it will be too late. And that's why 2DI is really aligning with my own personal values.
I think it's really important that you mentioned the real economy, feeling that your work is making real world impact with 2DI. And just following on from that, do you think that 2DI see themselves as more of a European focused think tank? Obviously, you mentioned yourself are quite focused on France and French regulation, given, and just thinking about European focus given your funding, or are there also projects on a more global scale which you're involved in, or in emerging markets, for example?
Yes, so we have several offices in Europe, one in Paris, one in London, one in Brussels, and one in Berlin. Each 2DI entity is obviously strongly involved directly with the local authorities and stakeholders. We also play, as you said, a key role at the European level. So we have a lot of discussion with the European Commission. For example, we had a lot of impact in the production of the EU Ecolabel, which is about to be published soon. This said, we also have a worldwide footprint. We have an office in New York, and so we are working with several stakeholders in the United States. And we also have activities focused on emerging markets, which is an activity which is increasing. So we won maybe 5 or 6 projects this year with countries such as Latin America countries, including Chile, Peru. We have contact with Mexican banks, but also in Asia, for example, with Malaysia. So as a conclusion, I would say that for sure we have a strong impact at the European level, but we are not focused on the European level.
I was just curious, you mentioned EU Ecolabel. Would you mind just talking to us a bit more about that?
Yes, sure. So Basically, this is one of the, I would say, most interesting project that we have been involved recently. Obviously, all the projects are really interesting, but this one was of a specific interest because this is, I would say, at the interface between several of our research programs. In the one hand, this is related to retail investing. So basically, the idea of the Ecolabel is to provide a label for financial products that would ensure that the financial products are better in terms of environmental issues than other non-labeled products. So that's definitely in relation with our retail investing research programs. But this is also in relation with all the work that we are doing about impact, because basically for us, a financial product that is better in terms of environmental issues should generate changes in the real economy and consequently have an impact. So we provided a lot of input about this question to the European Commission, and we are really happy because most of those inputs have been taken into account in the latest version of the Ecolabel. So we, to be fully transparent, we are not really comfortable with the current version of the Ecolabel for several technical reasons that we already raised to European Commission. But in the other end, this is also great to see that when you are pushing topics, most of them can be taken into account. So it's a mixed feeling, because even if we are not satisfied with the latest version, still we feel like that based on the feedback that we provided, the current version is far better than the first one that was produced.
I very much sympathize with that feeling that you've tried really hard and you've got some of your markups and comments through, but not all of them get implemented in the final version. I guess maybe that's something that you feel is not just alone in this project. It's a constant feeling when you work. You have to cooperate with multilateral organizations and different stakeholders and organizations. There's always that feeling of some level of compromise. But that's really interesting that you've been able to push that through. And apart from that, are there any other projects that you've worked on whilst at 2GI that you found particularly interesting?
Definitely. So it's really complicated to make a choice because all the projects are really interesting. Basically, in France, most of the activities that we are doing are parts of a project which is named Finance Climax, which is funded by the European Commission and which is coordinated by ADEM, which is the French Environmental Agency. And as part of this project, we have a lot of interactions with several stakeholders, including the regulator, including the supervisors. And this project allows us to have a lot of really interesting discussions and to be directly involved in political discussions. And as part of this project, basically, we would like to replicate several activities that are already implemented out of France. One of them, so this is not already done, but I hope that we will manage to do it, is to involve all the financial institutions in France to ask them to use our PACTA methodology, which is basically our methodology for portfolio climate assessment. And the idea would be for those financial institutions to provide climate indicators at sector level. For example, what is the level of alignment of all the banks in France, of all the insurers in France, and to publish those indicators on a website, which is managed by another member of the Finance Climate Consortium, which is named the Sustainable Finance Observatory of Finance for Tomorrow in France. And I think this would be really impactful. I mean, that would be a really good start if we manage to do this, because this will provide visibility about the practices of the French financial institutions. And this will allow the civil society to understand if the French financial institutions are aligned or far away from the Paris agreements. I think that's also another really interesting topic.
You mentioned visibility, and obviously this is becoming a key point for the finance sector worldwide in terms of being transparent for their stakeholders, their shareholders and the general public. So that's really interesting you're getting involved in something relating to that. Also, just thinking about 2DI's future pipeline of projects, how do you see your focus and project work at 2DI evolving over the next 5 to 10 years?
I would say it's twofold. First, this will be about increasing our activities around climate change. So with two focus, the first one, obviously, impact. So now that all the methodologies that we developed in terms of portfolio alignment are well known and that there is a lot of research on the topic, we really want to focus on how portfolio alignment can really lead to changes in the real economy and how we can support the financial institutions in the implementation of climate actions that can really generate those changes in the real economy. So that's a big topic because there is not a lot of research about this. It's quite complicated to make the link between actions of the financial institutions and changes in the real economy because obviously the chain is really complex. Like when you are an investor and that you decide to implement an action, you are not sure about how this action will impact the companies in your portfolio, and all the changes at the level of the company will impact the real economy. And there is a lot of uncertainty and there is not a lot of research, so we really want to focus on this. And the other topic in terms of climate change for us will be for sure retail investors. They can play a key role. I think the financial industry is a really complex industry, and most of the citizens, they are not even aware that their money is used to do stuff, and they are far, far away from imagining that they could have expectations with respect to how their money is used. So raising this awareness and providing them with the tool and the knowledge that they need to take decisions in terms of financial products as they would take decisions when buying an electric car or eco-design product. That will be a second topic for us, which is really important. And out of the climate topic, as I said, we also want to work more and more on biodiversity and other non-conventional risks and sustainable development related topic. So the focus will be on biodiversity first. What we have in mind would be, for example, to develop the same type of methodology than PACTA, but for biodiversity, which means being able to understand if your portfolio is aligned with biodiversity international goals or not, and then to replicate this through all our research programs, including risk management and long-term supervision, but also retail investors. Maybe when you buy a financial product, you are interested in what will be the impact in terms of biodiversity. So that will be a lot of work for the coming years.
Definitely seems like TDI has a lot on their plate right now.
Yeah.
But lots of exciting stuff to come. And I think especially you mentioned biodiversity, which obviously the media is picking up on it more, investors are too. And I was wondering if TDI had looked at the Task Force for Nature-Related Financial Disclosures, which is different to TCFD, which is the Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. And if you had any thoughts about if you would feed into that or if your biodiversity version of PACTA would relate to the TNFD at all.
So the example that you are using is really interesting. This is definitely what we want to do. We already have methodologies and tools for the climate change, and we want to replicate those tools for biodiversity as that happened with the TCFD, basically. So what we are doing is not directly related to them, but obviously we are planning to engage with them. And in terms of climate, methodologies are already used for compliance with the TCFD. So we hope that we will be able to provide the methodologies and the tools that are necessary for biodiversity also.
Thank you. And just turning back to your name, which I found interesting, 2 degrees. Do you think that aiming to cap global warming at 2 degrees is not ambitious enough with the UN's assertions that we need to target minimizing global warming to 1.5 degrees or to far less than 2 degrees?
Definitely. So just for the joke, 2 degrees investing initiative, that's already complicated to say. So if we would have chose 1.5 degrees investing initiative,
yeah,
even more complicated. But yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. Obviously, at 1.5, we will already see strong impact of climate change in the society. And we want to avoid such a situation. The thing is that, to be honest, we are still far from the 2 degrees. And first, we need to invert the curve in terms of CO2 emissions. So as a conclusion, I would say that we need to be ambitious. So for sure, we need to target the 1.5 and even like more stringent targets. But to be realistic, we are still far away from this. So once again, it's a mixed feeling. We want to do more, but to be honest, what we are pushing right now is already really pushy for the financial institutions. So I think we need to deal with what we can do in the one hand and the climate emergency in the other hand, which is a really complicated balance to find.
As you mentioned, we are still far from minimizing global warming to 2 degrees, especially if we're looking at business as usual trajectories. So I guess it needs to be measured and also realistic goals. I just also wanted to touch on PACTA, which you mentioned briefly before, which stands for the Paris Agreement Capital Transition Assessment. And this is an innovative toolkit developed by 2DI, and its aim is to help financial institutions to measure the alignment of their financial portfolios with climate scenarios. Would you mind just telling us a little more about this and why 2DI wanted to develop this tool?
Sure. So I will try not to be too technical, but basically the International Energy Agency developed a several scenarios which provide you with an idea of what are the key technologies that you need to develop or that you need to decrease in the economy if you want to stay under the 2 degrees. And the idea is to make the link between those technologies in the real economy and the companies which are in the portfolios of the financial institutions. And the purpose of the PACTA methodology basically is for financial institutions to understand what are the technologies they are exposed to through their portfolio. So basically, we have a huge database with all the assets like power plants, coal mines, automotive plants in worldwide. And we are able to the financial institutions, look, you have this company in your portfolio. This company owns this share of this asset. So it means that you are exposed to X megawatt hours of energy from fossil fuels. And if you want your portfolio to reflect what the real economy should become in a 2 degree scenario, basically you should decrease your exposure to those technologies and increase your exposure to renewables, electric cars. And the idea is for the financial institution to use the PACTA methodology as a diagnostic tool, saying, look, at portfolio level, I'm overexposed to coal, so I will need to decrease my exposure to coal, but I'm underexposed to renewables, so I will work with, for example, this company to understand if this company can change its business model and develop more renewable plants, for example. So that's really the idea of PACTA.
Is there a difference in how, obviously it's for financial institutions, but there are various types of financial institutions. Is there a difference between how banks might use PACTA as opposed to asset managers?
Yes, so I think there is one key difference, which is really technical. Basically, PACTA is a methodology. We developed several infrastructures around this methodology. One of those infrastructures is named Transition Monitor. This is a website. So institutional investors, they are able to go on the website to upload their portfolio and to run the methodology and to access the results directly. The banks, they can't do that for confidentiality issues. So they can't upload their portfolio online. So they need to basically download the software, download the data and everything which is required to run the methodology and to use it is in their own information system. So that's really technical on this aspect. Obviously, for banks, we are talking about a loan portfolio, and for asset managers, we are talking about equity portfolio. So there are also small differences in terms of methodology itself. But I think the most important is more about how you can use the output of the methodology. And as I said, what we want is really the financial institutions to use the climate actions that can have an impact in the real economy. And there is a strong difference between asset managers and banks. When you are a bank, basically, if you stop financing a project or a company, that could have at least strong impact in the way that the project and the company is behaving, because if they don't have fundings anymore, that will be a problem. When you are an asset manager, basically, if you just sell the shares that you have in the company in liquid market, those shares will be bought by another asset manager. And basically, that won't really have an impact on the company. So that's why if you are a bank or if you are an asset manager, the use that you can do of PACTA can be slightly different because it won't lead to the same climate actions.
As you mentioned, the key difference there being in how banks and asset managers work in different ways regarding private loans or listed equity buying and selling. And in terms of how PACTA has progressed in its usage since it launched, are you seeing increasing numbers of financial institutions, both banks and asset managers, utilising your methodology?
Definitely. Now we have more than 3,000 financial institutions using PACTA, including asset managers, banks, insurers. And this is the methodology and the tools are used over 90 countries around the world. So that's really great. We are also more and more working with the financial institutions directly, specifically with banks. So we are directly working with almost 20 banks directly to develop new functionalities and to ensure that they can use the methodology. So that's in terms of coverage and in terms of functionalities. So we are covering new sectors. We are also developing new functionalities to help the financial institutions using PACTA in a way which makes sense for them. So that's really like the two aspects that we saw during the last years.
That's great to hear that it's had such a wide take up and also geographically diverse as well. And more generally, you mentioned this briefly when talking about banks and their loan books and how they provide capital to coal mining, oil and gas, those sorts of sectors, which is used as traditionally polluting sectors in terms of their carbon emissions. How important would you say is the financial services industry in the transition to a net zero economy as opposed to these sectors such as oil and gas? Do you think it's up to them to diversify their business models into more renewable assets as well? Or is it up to the financial services to drive their loans in a different direction first?
For sure, the role of the financial services would be key. Once again, I will come back to this mixed feeling, which is basically the finance industry is financing the real economy. So they are dependent, I would say, on the companies that are actually in the real economy. This is not like a company itself. If a company decides to change its business model, there is no direct barrier except financial constraint, obviously. If a financial institution decides to finance only green companies, but that there is not enough green companies in the economy, that would be a barrier. For example, you may be aware of the European taxonomy, which is currently under development. And several research have been done on the topic, and several researchers raised a flag in terms of, look, right now, if you want to have a portfolio which is 100% taxonomy compliant, that won't probably be possible because there is not enough taxonomy related companies on the real economy. So my point is, for sure, the financial services will play a key role, because if they say we stop financing oil and gas, for example, that will be a key problem for the oil and gas industry. For example, this type of action could prevent oil and gas companies to develop new projects, but maybe would encourage them to focus on renewables instead. But this said, if the company doesn't want to change, at some point, that would be a barrier for the financial industry. So once again, this mixed feeling, when you are working with financial institutions, it's a little bit more complicated, because in the one hand, they could have a lot of power. But in the other hand, there is this barrier that is basically they don't own the business models of the companies.
You're right. It's a lot of delicate balancing, and it's actually a very nuanced situation in that there's a lot of connections between the finance industry and the real economy, as you mentioned, part of which is oil and gas and coal, etc. So it's essentially about them working together in this space, and obviously not just looking at it being green versus non-green, but potentially also looking at brown investments as well, which are maybe not quite 100% green yet, but which are transitioning, which is also important as well. Now turning to another topic which you've mentioned, which is retail investing, because obviously, as you mentioned, the eco label, for example, that you're also working on projects for retail investors. And what do you think are the biggest challenges in this space right now regarding moving to sustainable retail investing?
I don't know if you already asked one of your friends if he or she knows how his or her money is used, but basically some people, they just think that they put money on their bank account and that nothing happens, while actually this money is used to fund a part of the economy. Basically, you need to make people aware of this. And the second step is, once they are aware of this, to ensure that they have the information which is necessary to understand how this money is used. And this is already complicated because they need to access to some information that is not always available. So we need to make this information available to them. So that's why, for example, we recently developed an online platform which is named My Fair Money. So this is available in Germany so far in the Mein Fair Morgen name, but we are currently replicating this platform in France, and with the objective to replicate it across European countries. And with such a platform, what we we aim to achieve is basically first to raise awareness. So to explain to the retail investors how their money is used and why they should ask questions to their financial advisors. And the second is also to provide the information that they need. If you invest in this financial product, what are the assets which are associated to this project? What are the characteristics of those assets? Are they carbon intensive or not? Are there like related work of children around the world and things like that? And I think this will be a really good start. But this won't be enough because another challenge for retail investors is really to understand what they want. If you ask some of your friend if he wants or she wants his or her money to be used for the fight against climate change, there is a high probability that he or she will say yes. But then if you ask, okay, but for this, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to divest from oil and gas? Or would you prefer to invest, for example, in cement companies with CO2 emissions, but to help those companies decrease their CO2 emissions? There is a question about nuclear. Like, do you want to invest in nuclear or not? Is that good or not for the climate? And I don't think that at this stage, the retail investors, they have the knowledge to take this type of choice. So that's why the supervisors and the financial advisors, there are a lot of work to do on those aspects. And we are supporting this work by doing a lot of research in terms of behavior sciences to design questionnaires that can help understanding what retail investors want, even if they are not really aware to phrase it properly. And at the end of the day, GIG is really for financial advisors to be able to understand what retail investors want and to push the product that are really answering those expectations. And basically, the last point is, are those products already existing or not? And that's the last aspect of our research. We talked about the Ecolabel. I told you that we are not totally satisfied with the Ecolabel because basically, as the Ecolabel is framed right now, if someone comes and say, I want a product that will generate changes in the real economy and that the financial advisor pushes a financial product with the Ecolabel, we are not sure that this product will generate changes in the real economy at the end of the day. So obviously, we also need to work with the financial institutions to help them designing and selling those types of financial products.
Definitely something that, as you mentioned, needs a lot of work before retail investors can feel confident in the information they're provided is fully transparent and maybe also feel that they have the power to speak to their banks or asset managers or whoever is providing them with financial products. You also touched upon this a bit already, but do you think that it's more important to talk to the financial institutions directly to educate them on what retail investors want? Or is it more important to talk to policymakers and regulators about regulating the financial system to make it more sustainable for retail investors?
I don't think it will be efficient to make a choice between the two solutions. I think we need both. I think the financial institutions, they are now aware of the situation. I think some and maybe most of them are willing to do something to address climate change. But if they are not supported by the regulators, for example, and if the regulator doesn't implement the regulations which are necessary for financial institutions to address climate change, that won't happen. And this is always the same question. Like, if I want to do something that is good for climate change, but that my competitors, they don't, and that there is no regulation to make this mandatory, there is a risk for myself doing this because at the end of the day, that might negatively impact my activities. And same for retail investors. I think they need also support from the public authorities just to provide them with the education that they need to raise awareness. As I said, people, they don't even know that their money is used. So if no one explains this to them, there is no way that they become aware of this. But they also need, they have a voice and they need this voice to be heard. And that's why I think it's also important when someone don't want to eat meat, for example, and when someone is using his bicycle to go to the office, when he buys a financial product, this is really important to ask, okay, what will be the use of my money? And is this use consistent with what I'm doing in my daily life, basically? So yeah, that's really a mix of everything. I don't think that it will be efficient if only someone does something. And I really think that we need all the stakeholders to work together if we want to be efficient in this fight against climate change.
Absolutely. Collaboration is really important, particularly in this area, thinking about the intertwining of the financial sector and climate change, and also general public as well. And you touched upon a couple of things that when thinking about also ourselves as retail investors, we can do. But are there any kind of other key messages that you would think about that you yourself do, or you would have any advice for anyone else who's just a general member of the public and wants to find out more about where their money is being invested?
I think it's twofold. First, I would say do not hesitate to ask questions. Ask questions to your financial advisor, ask questions to your friends to better understand what you can access. And second, try to inform yourself. There are more and more ways to do this. As I said, we are developing this online platform. There is an increasing number of podcasts like this one to learn more about sustainable finance and retail investors' impact. There are also new apps. Like in France, we have an app which is named Reef, which has been developed by Lita and which helps you understand how your money is used, and that helps you finding alternatives. So yeah, I think if you really want to find the information that you need, there is now the way to find it. It was maybe not the case 5 years ago, but all the work that we and other stakeholders are doing should allow us to find the information that you need.
That's definitely a positive message, and something that hopefully our listeners take away as well, is that there's definitely steps you can take as a retail investor to find out where your money's going, basically. And just as a couple of concluding questions, do you have any words of advice any of our listeners who might be interested in a career in climate finance or more generally working for climate change related think tanks like yourself?
Sure. I would say we need you and congratulations to do this choice. I think this is really important to have more and more people involved in those topics. I do think that there is more and more opportunities to work around those topics. So I really think that people should not be afraid to look at those opportunities. I also think that those topics will increasingly become mainstream. So do not think that if in your job position there is nothing which is strictly related to climate change, don't think that it means that you will have no relation with climate change. At some point in your work, you will face those topics, and also you will have the opportunity to develop your expertise internally. So don't be afraid to look for climate change or sustainable development positions, but also take into account that even if you are not specialized on those topics, in other positions, there is a way for you to bring interesting things on the table.
Thank you. That's really useful advice. And definitely, as you mentioned, it's such an expanding field that there's a role for anyone really to get involved if they're passionate about the topic, which is obviously the most important factor, and also passionate about making impact as yourself. And finally, if our listeners could take away one thing from this episode of the IB Green Minds podcast, what would you want it to be?
For me, this is really collaboration. If we don't work all together, we won't be able to address climate emergency. This is what I said about the financial institution. If they are alone and if they are not working with the supervisors, with the companies and with the retail investors, we won't be able to be successful. When you are working in a company, that's the same. Like if you are a sustainable development manager, but that you are not in touch with the financial team and with the operations and with the supply chain, there is no way that you could be successful in your strategy. That's the same in real life. That's great to go to your office with a bicycle, but if you need to fly to another country to see your family, that will have a worse impact than your bicycle. And at some point, if the system is not providing us with the solutions that we need, we won't be able to have a lot of impact. And I'm taking this example because basically I'm working in Paris. My family is living in the south of the country, and it's really complicated to come back by trains. Maybe until 2 weeks ago, there were no train by night, or it was not even possible to sleep in the train and to do the way back during the night. And when you have obviously a position in Paris organization, it's really complicated to just come back and see your family. So does it mean that if you want to have a work that you really like and that could be impactful for the fight against climate change, you should not see your family anymore. That's a key topic. And I think even if you have a lot of willingness, if you don't receive support from the governments and the system, broadly speaking, you won't be, unfortunately, able to achieve your goal.
Thank you, Thibaut. Definitely food for thought to end on today. And on that note, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Phoebe. It was really nice to talk about those topics. And it's really great to see that people like you are involved in those topics. So I hope that you will be able to raise a lot of awareness around this, because that would be the key.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.